Let's get after it. It's a midweek Wednesday morning right here on Sports Radio TSN 1200. We are so glad you're along for this 18th day of May 2022. Gang's all here. JR, Simmer, and Hammer. I tell you what, it's cool out there this morning. It will warm up, though. Actually, today is going to be a nice day. It's maybe the nicest day we got coming up right through the long weekend, unfortunately. We'll see down the road. But for today, sunshine in the forecast. We're going to get up to 20 degrees. Tomorrow, we're back into some showers, 17. Outlook for Friday and Saturday calls for some sun, some clouds, and some showers. Weather forecast covered you from all sides there. Rain now in the forecast for Sunday and holiday Monday, May 2-4 Monday, sun and clouds for holiday Monday. But again, a chilly start to the day. We're sitting at 6 degrees as we begin the day, as we say hello, good morning, happy Wednesday, happy start to round two of the playoffs, day two. Sean Simpson, how are you doing this morning, Simmer?
Outstanding, Jer. Woke up in blue sky. I really don't care if it's cold out. Everything has bloomed, and just driving out. That was absolutely gorgeous out there. Almost a full moon, beautiful day ahead, so ready to rock and roll. And you mentioned a little May 2-4. I think we should pack her up. Maybe Saturday, maybe Sunday, head down to the sandbanks, just have a little bender, the three of us, just a little bit of bonding action. As I'm trying to think of what was cool back in the day, and when you talked about May 2-4, I thought everybody that was cool was headed to, actually, on the weekend, had a real strong conversation with, I don't remember who, but we talked about A-Bay. Those were the two places, if you're growing up in Ottawa, yeah. You either had to pretend you were going there. I never made it to either one, but it was the Sandbanks or it was A Bay.
Going to Alexandra Bay.
Yeah.
Alexandria Bay?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I think Alex Bay.
No, Alexandria Bay. Yeah, okay. But I think that's all kind of shut down since 9/11, right? It's almost a ghost town. But that was the cool places to go back in the day. You pack it up and you're going to the big party for the May 2-4.
So like Mooney's Bay Beach, that didn't cut it because that was in town?
I'm sure you probably had a camp, right? So you can't camp at Mooney's.
Well, no. JR's being sarcastic, Hammer. Come on. Work with us. It's early. Get your coffee in.
Maybe I'm not ready yet.
Now, the only thing that was cool about Mooney's Bay, and that's how old I am, JR, I was there for the inaugural Hope Beach Volleyball.
Wow. Which that is old.
Yeah, that's about 1987, 88. Had the old hockey player team that we put into that. But
you guys thought you would dominate?
Have played in jeans and tarps off, man.
Oh no, no,
we were
there.
Jorts.
We dominated socially, so there nobody cared about the volleyball, and that was a day that if it was no rain, usually ended up in a whole lot of fights, a whole lot of other things. But yeah, that goes back to I think 1987, 88. I think locally, guys, everything was cottage related. At that time, a lot of people were heading up to. I think some of the lakes up in the Gatineau Park as well. But those are the cool spots, like I said, growing up. And well, we're down in Southern Ontario, Jerry, where do you have going? Were you probably a Grand Bend guy, right?
Bender.
Bender.
You brought up the word bender. The ultimate bender was always done at Grand Bend, at Sanders on the Beach.
Oh, all the hockey players talked about that place as well. That was like really, that's high-end stuff, right? The Grand Bend.
That's cool. Yeah, because people would boat in from the American side.
Get out.
Absolutely. Yeah, they'd come up. They'd come up the coast, as it were.
Nice.
From Detroit and places like that up to Grand Bend. Yeah.
Wasn't there a I think there was a Canadian reality show about Grand Bend.
Was it?
And about and about that beach and how things would get a little sideways from time to time. I think it was about a restaurant or something. There was a restaurant on
the
beach.
It was Sanders on the Beach.
I think it was called Wave Babies because it was Honeymoon Suite. They busted in the video right there.
You may be thinking of Sobble Beach, which has grown into a big party spot.
Yeah, Wasaga Beach was also very, cool, but just the different names. I remember Brad Jansen, who used to be the CCM rep, was one of the cooler guys on the planet. Appeared to have a credit card from CCM that was endless in the ability to drink on it. And it was always just about Grand Bend. That was where all the cool cats were going back in the day.
Grand Benders, TV reality series.
Really?
Yes.
I might have to watch that. I'm thinking that's going to be especially bad.
JR might have been a double. Might have been a background actor in there. Didn't even realize. Hey, there we are, hunkered up to the bar.
The first season was 2012. So I have a feeling JR was not... strolling the beach there
Okay.
Doing a little scout mission.
Well, it was a long drive from Ottawa. Oh, but the older guy in the Speedo, there's still those.
with a sunburn.
You know what? If we're going to cast JR, as I'm starting to think about good movies here, Hammer, and we went down that yesterday, which was outstanding by you, would he not have been outstanding in Cocktail as Coughlin's Law, like the lead actor there? Now, not the ending, JR. We don't want you to take your life. But that actor right there, that the JR would have played that part perfectly.
The elder statesman of Tom Cruise?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Hey, would he not be, honestly, that, like, both in look and ability to pull off Coughlin's Law?
I'm going to have to watch that now.
Yeah.
You haven't seen Cocktail?
I haven't seen Cocktail. I'm not a big Tom Cruise guy. I immediately repel when it comes to Tom Cruise.
Are you going to go see the new Top Gun? Maverick?
I was okay. Risky Business was as far as I went. Okay. After that, it was all downhill.
That was his first movie.
I know.
I don't even know
if I've seen Top Gun. The original Top Gun.
Are you serious?
No, I don't know if I've watched it.
Wow.
If I have, it was a long time ago.
Yeah. No, see, I'm not a huge Tom Cruise guy, but I'll go back to Outsiders, which he was a small part of. Risky Business was his debut. Top Gun, JR, come on. We got to get together here.
We
got to do a movie night, the three of us, and go see the sequel.
Well, why don't we do it while we're at Sandbanks this weekend?
Exactly. We'll just put up the big
projector. And we'll be all set.
And Hammer, if the soundtrack is even close, the greatest movie soundtrack, that and Pulp Fiction, at least of that era right there.
I will agree with that. That's Kelly McGillis is in that one?
Yeah.
I may have, because that came out when?
86, 87?
I was going to say late 80s.
I may have been crushing
Kelly McGillis at one point.
Well, for sure. And the whole scenes were cool. I think that's when those speed bikes became kind of cool. The tunes on there. The big tune one for me was the Pulp Fiction one, though, because there was a lot of music on there I'd never heard of. The way that was all mixed
Royale
together. The whole thing, but all the different, Slim Willy or whatever the hell was in there. Whatever. It was a great soundtrack.
It was very eclectic. Yeah. It was fantastic soundtrack. Yeah.
There we go. All right. Well, whatever you're up to this weekend, because this is where it all kicked off. Long weekend.
Guess we're going to the Sandbanks.
We're going to the Sandbanks. Weather.
What's Lake Ontario like in late May?
Cold.
Yeah,
it can
chilly.
Be cold in July.
Cool.
True enough.
But at least it's clean, though. I don't think 1980s, Hammer, it was a pretty disgusting. Maybe we'll see Charles and Camilla down
on the beach.
I think they're in and out.
I think they're
here for 2 days. They're coming to Ottawa today, right? They were in Newfoundland yesterday.
How exciting is that to see Camilla DeVille in town?
DeVille? You know, I'm busy.
I just see, like Bud Cumulow. Like, you know, I'm not feeling you as the king to start with. I think you should kind of step aside. But nobody in Canada, after having Princess Diana here many years ago, wants you and Camilla coming to town. Just not feeling it, JR.
I'm not feeling any of these royal visits anymore.
I'm not wading into any royal talk. Don't really care about the royals. People that do, fill your boots. People that don't, like me, whatever. Just don't create too many traffic jams while you're here. There, that's my advice. All right, 6:18. We got lots to get to on this Wednesday morning, including the start of round two, where the Lightning go into Florida and steal game one, and the Avalanche dominate the Blues but need overtime to grab the first game. So we'll go through all of that and set up the two game ones tonight in the other two series. All the other off-ice news as well, including garbage bag days for both the Maple Leafs and the Pittsburgh Penguins. An update on some of the NHL coaching situations. So we've got lots of NHL stuff to go over with you. And we'll get into the Blue Jays story as they get another win. A little bit of football news for you as well. We've got the Ottawa Titans. Tickets for their first inaugural game coming up on next Tuesday to give away on the show. Dave Poulin is our TSN hockey insider. He'll join us after 8 and after 9. We're going to go out to Edmonton and talk about the Battle of Alberta as it begins tonight with Jason Greger from TSN 1260 in Edmonton. So, busy Wednesday on the way. We're glad you're with us. Let's kick it off here on Sports Radio TSN 1200. Never kissed a girl. Welcome back, 6:24 here on a Wednesday morning with J.R. Simmer and Hammer. Busy show on the way. Looking forward to it. We'll kick it off, though, with the NHL playoffs. Round two, game one last night on a couple of fronts. We'll get to Denver in just a second, but we'll start in Sunrise, where the Florida Panthers and the Tampa Bay Lightning. What was it we settled on? The
No. It was the,
Glades.
Glades?
Yeah. Gong Show in the Glades.
No.
Yes.
Okay.
Gong
okay.
Show in the Glades.
Okay.
Is what we, well.
Kept that's, showing shots of that during the game yesterday.
That's
as
what
well.
Mike Johnson liked, and yeah. MJ likes is
that's
what
true.
We like.
Let's go with it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gong Show in the Glades, which was not really. Did you end up watching?
No, watch the entire thing.
It was not
thing.
Really, and I'll get to how I watched the game, which was not on my big screen TV for most of it, which was not really a gong. Was it my imagination? Because I was kind of in and out for the early part of the game.
Yeah.
It was a relatively quiet game, was it not?
Well, it was a quiet building. It was a nervous and what was supposed to be a street brawl.
Yeah.
Florida didn't look overly organized. Barkov was asleep at the wheel. Ekblad was swinging around the ice, checking his own hat. It didn't matter. Now, this is what I also said, which was completely wrong. I thought Florida would be better, JR. I didn't think there'd be a hangover from the last series in a sense of... kind of a rivalry game, but it felt like that. It just felt like, and I, for whatever reason, the hangover was on the Florida side, but no, it didn't match up for sure.
No, okay. Yeah. All right. Well, let's get to the details of the game before we get into the nuts and bolts. And after Anthony Duclair scored his first ever playoff goal for Florida to put them on top, Tampa got a beautiful goal. Speaking of Aaron Ekblad just got turned inside out by Nikita Kucherov.
He did a Sean Chambers.
Yes, Corey Perry with the tap-in. And then Belmar scores early on in the third on a broken faceoff play. It's 2-1. Game still up for grabs as Tampa goes to the power play.
Stamkos, Hedman straight away. Near side, Kucherov. Kucherov looking. Kucherov with a shot, he scores! Power play goal, Nikita Kucherov, and the Lightning now lead 3-1.
There you go. And that would be a goal and an assist on the night for Kucherov. Corey Perry with a goal and an assist. Now, what was interesting about that goal is that it was eventually challenged by the Florida Panthers for goaltender interference on Anthony Cirelli, who was screening Sergei Bobrovsky from the lip of the crease. Now, it was tight for sure, but Sorelli's skates were outside of the crease, the blue.
Yeah. The Bob likes to challenge a lot.
And the Bob was up on top of the on top of the crease. In fact, his skates were kind of halfway over the kind of the outer line, I guess you could call it. And as Sorelli kind of swings around just before the goal goes past him, he does brush Bobrovsky's head. And Florida decided, I guess at 3-1, right? Andrew Burnett is going, at 3-1, it's over, so I might as well challenge it. It seemed to me like as soon as I saw the overhead shot in particular, I thought for sure that's going to count. Indeed, that's what happened. So the goal counted, and then Florida ends up getting a delay of game penalty, and then Tampa scored again on the power play, and 4-1 is the final. What'd you think of the I guess, non-interference call on the goal.
Well, I understand the blue paint, JR. I just think you kind of have that cylinder above you that your space ends up being that. So
where does that end, though?
Doesn't end. Like, my cylinder for the goaltender, I can, anywhere
it goes
I'm
out
at.
Of the face-off circle?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. No, I don't need the goal. Never being a bit. But I just think when you're challenging to actually challenge the puck that, hey, that is my space in that particular case. That's the way I would handle the goaltenders personally, Jer. So I would have been fine. And then they had the old net or puck off the net. Which certainly fine with that, no issue. But,
that one was how do four officials miss that?
I'm not sure.
Again, for those that missed it, Florida, so was that when it was still, was it 2-1? Yeah, it was 2-1.
Yeah.
And was Florida thinks they've tied it, declares scores. So the puck clearly just before that had deflected up into the netting and come back down, and Tampa stops playing, and then Duclair puts it in the net, and everybody's like, oh, we got to and they actually had to challenge it.
No, I know.
Like, how do four officials miss that?
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, every building's a little bit different, but you're right. And Carey Fraser had a real good tweet, and I see Carey on Twitter, just talking about, hey, the referee at the goal line, his whole focus is to be watching the goal. Now, you have a ton of replays, more so than Carey, when Carey was refereeing, but, for the linesman, everybody else should be able to follow that, and should be pretty easy to end up calling that. And I don't know who was at the game last night, and it's very rare for it to be a full building, but I think they've got rid of the actual fans and they brought in, I don't know, people either new to ice hockey or maybe a corporate base. That was a pretty lame crowd.
It was all the people
night,
that said they wanted to go to say they were at a game.
Yeah.
They were all at game
great.
One.
That's a great point. Yeah. You know? Yeah. But it just was really, and he kept looking. I'm like, is that a seat or is that a person? I'm like, yeah, that's a person. There's a person in the seat.
Yeah.
And they have their little towel as well. So they were good to go. But it was just,
well, you heard it on that replay that we just played.
Yeah.
You could actually hear, and play it again. You can hear the Tampa players kind of talking among themselves on the power play.
Near side, Kucherov. Kucherov looking.
That must be the official, right? That's the official.
Well, that's still
talking to Cirelli.
They got some hot. I got some hot mics going on there. Hey,
all right. But usually in a 2-1 game.
Yeah.
And that's when the home team is on the PK, you would think the crowd would be roaring at that point to kill off that everything would be so quiet you could actually hear the referee yelling at Cirelli to watch from going in the blue.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny, Jared, because you watch games and you try to scout and you try to analyze, and then, certainly we all keep talking about Barkov, how underrated. And the guy we kind of discussed yesterday I thought was really good was Huberto. I thought he's one of the better Florida's, if not best, player. Barkov, just real quiet, though. Wasn't using his size, wasn't engaging. But the one glaring thing, and I'm not saying I ever put them together, and this got me going this morning on a bit of an exercise on Thomas Chabot, to watch Ekblad and Hedman on the same ice and kind of understanding of point totals and big men and salary, like,
not close.
They couldn't even be, like, you're not even in the same stratosphere. And if we want to complain about Thomas Chabot and attention to detail, get a load of this Ekblad fella right now.
He'd not have a good night last
night.
No,
but wow. and Hedman is the very best. He's the gold standard. But what I did, JR, is I said, hey, take the 8 best defensemen on the teams just eliminated. Take the 8 best defensemen on the teams. I think would give people a better perspective at times on narrowing in on how good Thomas Chabot is. And I know he has to clean up his game. He needs a better team, a better partner. But as you start to go through some of these teams, this is a pretty short list of guys that I take ahead of him. And watching Ekblad yesterday, that if that's your go-to guy, you're going to have a tough time. And if you wonder why you struggle at even strength, and even on the power play as far as giving up chances, yeah, he's not very comfortable as a defender. Like, he's a big guy that is not very smooth on his edges.
No. First goal, I mean, Kucherov is an all-world talent, and that was, but, you know, I don't even know if that was his A move that he made on that one. He's just kind of going,
yeah,
I'm going to do a whoop-de-whoop. Oh, okay, I guess I'm in alone here. Thanks for swooping into the middle. So there was that goal. And then the second goal, it's a broken coverage off a face-off where he and Sherratt get mixed up as to who's covering who. And then the fourth goal, and the game is decided by then, I think they were on the ice for that one as well. So it was not a good night for the two big defensemen for Florida. It was not a good night for Florida. And, one game in, you would have to think, and it's only one, you got to win 4 to win a series, but you would have to think already that the Florida players are going, oh, no, here we go again. Yeah. This is not good. After we lost to them last year, and they pretty much dominate us all the time.
Now, the checklist that I'd be happy about, I thought the Bob looked outstanding, and so kind of a head-to-head and goal. That looks good. So, let's see how they can rebound in game two. Just much higher expectations, and for whatever reason, not feeling it. Tried to watch Claude Giroux and certainly thought Claude was effective in some areas there. Still very intelligent, makes a lot of plays, has a hell of a stick. I don't know if many guys bat more pucks out of the air than old Claude Giroux, so he was decent last night.
By the way, Dave Jackson, the former NHL referee who is now the kind of eye in the sky for ESPN's hockey coverage, he did tweet about that that goalie interference that was not overturned, and said, he wrote on Twitter, Bobrovsky's pads were in the blue paint, but his upper body and head were outside the crease plane based on the overhead view. Contact was deemed to be incidental, i.e. non-deliberate, and the Tampa Bay player was outside the blue. Referees and Toronto got this call right.
Yeah.
So that's the opinion of Dave Jackson,
former
official.
Yeah, no,
I did not have an issue. Like, as soon as I saw the overhead for me, it's like, I know he hit his head, but that Bobrovsky moved into him. Yeah. Like, and I know what you're talking about. You're talking about that kind of cone that goes straight up for the goalies.
Yeah, a bit of a basketball.
But at some point, when you're the goalie and you move into, like, the player is also allowed his space, is he not? And if you move into his space and you're outside of the blue, like, the blue is your area of safety. When you move outside of the blue and into a place where the player is standing, which Cirelli is doing, You know, at some point, it is incumbent upon the goalie as well to stay away from the player if he does not want to be interfered with.
Yeah,
does it not?
That's an interesting point. I just, in the case of challenging...
Goalie apologist?
Yeah, I think about a Mike Richter and how difficult. But just in the case of Bobrovsky, he's not quite traditional. And, you know, it's really not a big debate generally, JR, because the guys are so big now. What in Bobrovsky, when you're at least trying to come out and cover or take away the angle... Yeah, I can understand that. But I just, like I said, I think that the players at that point can avoid a little bit better. But there's also a lot of goaltenders and a lot of people that teach goaltending will tell you, JR, your job as a goaltender is to get as tight to the defender. So I'm agreeing with what you're saying. Like, when I'm thinking about a guy in front of me, you want to be as tight to him as possible, right? That takes away his ability to deflect the puck to really do anything for you. So, yeah, I can see that. It's just more the rotation and as you go above the goaltender. But I don't really look at it, I guess in summary, I don't look at it necessarily just the blue paint as the area, but certainly Dave Jackson knows a hell of a lot more than I do.
For all the hype, this text comes in at 12-1200. For all the hype we hear about local guy Mackenzie Weegar, almost every time I watch him play, he's terrible defensively and only so-so offensively. Thoughts? And yes, Ekblad was brutal too. That comes from unsigned. Yeah, I think Mackenzie Weegar has struggled a bit in the Washington series from what I watched. And last night, again, didn't stand out. Mm-hmm. And whether he's gone, you know, he's in a bit of a slump, not quite sure. I don't think the Mackenzie Weegar that to whoever texted in to their point that we have seen in the last little bit is the Mackenzie Weegar that we have that has played the last couple of years. I think because I agree. If you've watched him the last little bit and even late in the regular season, they played a couple of games against Toronto. And he got turned inside out a few times. So, but I think he's a better player than what he's shown.
Oh, and first of all, if he wants to play strong defensively, Jair's outstanding. They're being asked to play a high risk, high tempo hockey. They want to take it to teams. When you adapt that mentality, and we discuss this with Shabbat all the time, when your first thoughts and your team is telling you to go on the attack all the time, they're saying, hey, we're going to sacrifice some things and you're going to have a bit of cheating at times. So I'm not making excuses. The guy's outstanding defensively when he wants to be. And I don't think offensively. Now, he's a good player, but it's not like he's natural like a, you know, an Adam Fox out there. So I think it really lends itself to that style and why so many people were nervous about Florida coming into the playoffs because, you know, traditionally that just has not worked. Now, we can talk about the Colorado Avalanche, the big Avalanche coming downhill. And now when you can take it to that level or Connor McDavid, but no, that has to be the fear if you're a Florida fan. That's the mentality that everybody adopts and you're bound to as a defender end up losing some of your defensive skills.
Anybody rethinking their Florida pick?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Right away. Yeah. That was just a pathetic game won by them. That's not what I expected at all. Like they could lose game one. I've got no problem with that, but they just, there was no, I didn't like their attack. I didn't like their game plan.
Barkey wasn't barking either. Hey, Hooby was hooping.
It was like lethargic.
He was doing okay.
When they're at their best in the regular season, it was like they would overwhelm teams.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Right?
Yeah,
it was just like the it is. It's they're on the attack, as you said, Simmer. That's their style.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, either they're pulling back the reins a little bit because, oh, it's the playoffs. We got to tighten it down. Or it just is not working for whatever reason. But they are so far away from what we saw at times in the regular season.
Yeah.
And this goes back to the Washington series. I mean, they won the series.
Yeah.
But every time I would tune in, I would go, where's the Florida team that, you know, I was used to watching this.
But it makes you ask. And then again, I asked this to Mike Johnson, and I thought Campbell played very well. Okay, Jack Campbell is a .920 save percentage in the regular season. I don't care. What did he have it against Tampa Bay? Now you realize how good the Leafs are in Tampa Bay. But when Florida's doing this against the haves and the have-nots, let's go back and see how many nights they toasted Detroit, Ottawa, Buffalo, you know, New Jersey, Islanders, a few other teams, Columbus, versus what do they do? And then the other part is quite simply matchups. You have Hedman, who is the very, very, very best in the business. It's not even close. He should get the Norris Trophy every year, JR. But when you're in a series and you make adjustments tactically, that's the part. And I love Andrew Brunette, and Bruno's a good fella. Andrew Brunette is just absolutely, I don't want to say in over his head, JR, but man, you know, again, this is where you look at this. This is a guy that's never been a head coach in his whole life. So, you know, I can understand why Florida, you're playing a very good team. They've made adjustments, and they're just better than a lot of the teams that you probably just ran over during the regular season.
I would love to give you, from my perspective, more insight into last night's game, but I had to watch a bunch of it on the phone. Because,
that's awesome.
Yeah, because my
what happened?
Well, Bell was down last
wow.
night.
Was it weird.
Not in North America. You guys not on the
yeah,
on
I got
the
Bell 5. I was using the Bell 5 app. That's what yeah. I use. I don't have a Bell box anymore.
Okay.
I just use my
so
smart
you have the
TV.
App?
Yeah.
Through a smart TV.
On yeah. my Fire Stick. Yeah. Okay. I've got it. The app on my yeah. Fire Stick.
See, I didn't even think about that. I just thought, because the Bell, and the Bell was down across Ontario and Quebec.
Really?
For at least, well, it went down about 6:30. Apparently, and then didn't come back till, I don't know, 9:30, okay. whatever it was. But anyway, I was like, okay, I guess I got to use the Fibe app, but I used it on my phone.
Okay.
And okay, I know I'm a
phone hockey okay. is the best.
Well, right? I realize I'm not 20, and I understand I get why it's convenient in terms of you can take your phone anywhere so you can watch anything anywhere. I get the romance of that part of it. But if I have the option of watching something on my phone, which is the size of my hand, or I can watch it on my 55-inch screen, which I realize is small, I will take the 55-inch yeah, screen every yeah. time. Like, yeah. how do people – why do people want to watch it on their phone?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Does it make it sound really old?
No, I don't even enjoy watching things on computers. Like, I just don't have the appetite for that.
In a sense
of there's nothing you could I don't care how old you are. If you tell me I could watch a hockey game on my phone or a monster TV with now today's technology, a highlight or doing other things. But, no, in this particular case, Jair, I agree.
Why do I want to watch on 5 inches when I've got 55 inches on my wall? Yeah. It makes no sense. It's just one of those disconnects
yeah.
that kids these days – and their like parents, your kid, like I don't your, understand.
Like your kids, right? Like yeah. my kids watch stuff on their laptops all the time.
Oh, absolutely.
All the time. Yeah. Don't even yeah. think twice
yeah.
about it.
Yeah.
Laptop, right? phone, he'll be yeah. playing games, and then he'll have the Blue Jay game on his phone. I don't understand it. It makes no – it's
– anyway, it did come back, so I was happy about that. All right, so there's game one. Tampa wins it 4-1, up 1-0 in the series over Florida in the Gong Show in the Glades, which was in the Glades, but not a Gong Show. Meanwhile, out in Denver, it was game one between the Avalanche and the Blues, a game that was dominated on the shot clock and territorially by Colorado, yet they were only up 2-1 late in the third, and then St. Louis scored the game-tying goal on a power play by Jordan Kyrou. So we're going to OT in game one. St. Louis has no business being in this game. Are they going to steal game one in overtime in Denver?
Kadri behind the net, Landeskog. High in the zone, Manson fakes the shot. Now Manson lets it go. He scores! He scores! Man, oh, Manson! And you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here because this party is over!
Yeah, so St. Louis didn't win. Denver. Colorado wins it on a Josh Manson seeing eye goal from the point 8 minutes into overtime. They beat the Blues 3-2 in a game that was utterly dominated by the Avalanche. It was one of those ones that looked like they were skating downhill. The final shots were 54-25 for Colorado, including 13-0 in overtime. Blues never even got a shot on goal. In OT. So the Avalanche were deserved winners and ended up as winners of game one in that series.
You feeling different about the choice, Sal?
You know what?
Your sleeper pick was sleeping.
Listen, it's game one. Oh. I'm expecting Colorado in a week off is going to be fired up. I'm thinking you got to get used to the altitude and everything. I'll make the counter argument of the fact that they actually got the game to overtime, all right, I'll give them credit. And that's all pretty much all Jordan Binnington because he was outstanding in that game last night. So, I'm still confident in my sleeper pick of the St. Louis Blues in 7 games.
Yeah, I just feel like that St. Louis team a couple of years ago is not the same. They're a little bit more offensive. And this team in Colorado right now, boys, I don't see it being stopped until – maybe Carolina, maybe Tampa. I can't imagine in this series, and can't imagine Edmonton or Calgary having the ability to take them down. So, and deservedly so. I think it's great for Joe Sakic and everybody involved. They've worked hard. They've drafted well. Been real smart on the pro side. Shout out to my buddy Garth Joy locally. And so, yeah, to right now, it's just one game, but they are right now on another level from everybody else.
Well, I mean, it would be folly to for anybody to for people like me to come on and say, oh, well, yeah, like Colorado overrated. I mean, they haven't lost a playoff game yet, and they were utterly dominant in their game one win. Yeah. Yet it still needed overtime. So I'll put it that way. Yeah. St. Louis, you know, looks like Jordan Binnington for all the criti- and, you know, deserved criticism. For most of this year, he was not very good. And whether it's the competition of Ville-Husso or whatever, he got inserted in the middle of the last series, was outstanding as they beat Minnesota, and he was outstanding again last night as he was when they won the Stanley Cup a couple of years ago. So if Jordan Binnington is back on his game, as he appears to be, it does give St. Louis, you know, you combine that with nine guys with 20 goals. They've got a lot of ways they can beat you offensively. Big miss, though, is Torrey Krug. He's injured.
Yeah.
And there's talk that he may be back, may not be back. But if he, they can find a way to get him back, that's a, that would be a huge plus for St. Louis as well. Anyway, there you go. Denver wins. Colorado wins game one. Up one game to none. Game ones in the other two series will begin tonight. Rangers in Carolina. That's a 7 o'clock faceoff. And then the Battle of Alberta. Is renewed for the first time in 31 years tonight in Calgary as the Flames will host the Oilers. That game faces off shortly after 9:30. 6:45. You got any thoughts of anything we chat about? It's always welcome. Text us at 12-1200. Tweet at us at TSN1200. Phone lines are always open at 750-1200. When we come back, get you an update on Tim Stützle's condition after his injury the other day for Team Germany at the World Hockey Championship. So we got a bit of an update for you on that. We will set up the game ones tonight and take a trip around the rest of the world of sports when we return right here on Sports Radio, TSN 1200. Welcome back, 6:49 here on this Wednesday morning. So Tampa and Colorado take game ones of the Stanley Cup playoff round two series. The other two series will begin tonight. We'll get to more in depth on that coming up throughout the morning and talk about it with Dave Poulin, our TSN Hockey Insider, when he joins us after 8 o'clock. And we'll go to Alberta, Edmonton specifically. Jason Greger from TSN 1260 in Edmonton will set up the Battle of Alberta, Edmonton, and Calgary with us coming up after 9 o'clock. A couple of quick texts. 12-1200 from the first discussion of the morning. I'll be at Sandbanks this weekend, writes Scott. Let me know when you guys get there. I'll have the beers on ice. So thank you very much, Scott.
Beam us up, Scotty.
Yeah, appreciative of that. Want to know, by the way, Scott, because I know that park, the back of my hand, tell us what site you're on, because I can tell you whether that's a good one or not.
Yeah.
Okay, because there are good sites within Sandbanks, and I'm talking 676, 77, 78.
Nice.
Unless you like to be right. Do you like to be right on the beach? When you can't, like at Sandbanks, they've got sites that are essentially right at the end of the beach.
Oh, yeah.
I dislike those.
Yeah?
Because, well, when the wind is up, you're getting sand blown into your campsite.
Okay.
I just, when I'm at, and I'm not a beach guy to begin with, okay? But when I'm at the, okay, I'm gonna do my time in the sun. I'm going to get out my umbrella because I hate being in the sun.
Yeah.
Okay, but when I'm done with the beach, I'm done with the beach. I want to go back to my campsite, and I don't want to be around sand. I want to hose myself off.
Yeah.
And I want to get clean, and I don't want
sand plus night action.
Exactly. So anyway, all right, Scott, thank you for the invite. And let's see here. Mookie, friend of the show, texts in and says he remembers your team at the inaugural Hope Beach Volleyball Classic. Says they, you guys had on the Ocean Pacific tank tops, the Varnay sunglasses, and didn't win a point. Is that accurate, Simmer?
You know what? It sounds like it. But as I say, we weren't tracking volleyball points.
Okay. We'll leave it at that. All right. 6:51. So the NBA Eastern Conference Final began last night in Miami. Celtics hosting the Heat's third time in the last 4 years. Those two teams have met in the Eastern Conference Final. So this was a bit of an odd game in that the Celtics, despite being down a couple players, including Marcus Smart, actually led by 8 points at halftime. And then came the second half in which, in particular, the third quarter in which the Heat outscored the Celtics 39-14, outscored them by 25 points. And that was the old ball game right now. The man who led the way, Jimmy Butler, 41 points and 9 assists, was asked after the game what changed in the second half.
Keep the game easy, simple. We got to learn to capitalize off of their mistakes, and we got to get back. I think that's what changed in the second half.
There you go. There's the easy solution. So Miami wins at 118-107. They're up 1-0 in the Eastern Conference Final. Meanwhile, the Western Final will begin tonight in Golden State, the Warriors hosting the Dallas Mavericks. They also had the NBA draft lottery last night, and Orlando ended up, the draft lottery is a little bit different than the NHL one. The three bottom teams have an equal opportunity, 14%, of having their number combination being drawn for the number one pick. And so the Orlando Magic end up, for the fourth time in their history, winning the draft lottery. Can you name the three players they chose the other three times that they won the draft lottery? Orlando Magic.
Yeah, Shaquille O'Neal, Penny Hardaway, and Grant Hill.
No, Grant Hill.
No, it's more recent than that.
So Shaq was 92, Penny was 93.
Yeah.
Which, as soon as I saw Penny Hardaway's name when I looked this up last night, I was reminded of the little Penny
commercials. That's all. Oh. Yeah, I agree.
They were so good.
Yeah. Fantastic. Yeah. With the Lakers now.
Correct. Still active.
Oh. I can't think of the name,
Anthony
though.
Anthony Davis? 2004.
Oh.
No.
Whoa.
Dwight
Superman,
Howard.
Dwight Howard
was the other first
what was,
overall
What
pick.
Would Grant Hill have been, JR? Obviously a high pick, right? Was he drafted by Orlando?
No. I want to say Detroit. Was he not?
Oh, geez. Okay. Yeah. I always think of Grant Hill with the bad wheels. I thought that was always in Orlando. But the other thing I'll say for Mr. I'm blanking now, Butler. That is a part of the NBA I would never be able to figure out. For a guy that just leveled everybody in Minnesota to get traded, didn't appear to get along with anybody in Philadelphia, and has now gone to Miami and just been an absolute rock star, a clutch player, a playoff performer. Tough to figure these fellas out what they're going to do. But
the Pat Riley factor.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and that is, you know, trying to get your house in order and trying to look at, you know, what has happened in Brooklyn versus what happens there. And, you know, kind of the style that the Raptors go along in a very Canadian-esque kind of, hey, everybody kind of toes the line and is part of the or buys into the program.
Yeah. Blue Jays won last night, 3-0 over Seattle. Another strong starting performance, this time from Jose Berrios, as he went 7 shutout innings. The only hit of note, and it was basically a bloop, right? George Springer, bases loaded, 2 outs in the second inning. Pops went up to right field, and
I don't know who the outfielder was, but anyway, tried to make a catch,
missed it, rolls all the way to the fence. 3-run triple. That was the only run. The only note of action in the entire game, all three runs scored on that play. 3-0, Blue Jays beat Seattle, so that's the second straight win for them.
Already given the Yankees the pennant, so is this all about the wild card?
No, not yet.
There's still 1,000 games
to
go in the
season. 27-9, holy jump.
They're having their hot start here. Don't worry about the Yankees.
Okay.
So no, they've got some pretty good pitches.
Yeah, the Blue Jay fan.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right, and the PGA Championship begins tomorrow. At Southern Hills, which is in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Of course, Phil Mickelson is not there. He had signed up to play, the defending champion at 50 years old, and what a great story that was when Phil won last year at 50, the oldest ever major champion. But Phil has run into some issues off the course in the last few months and said, yeah, you know what, in retrospect, not a good idea for me to be there given all the controversy that's swirling around me. So Phil's not there, but Tiger is, and he was asked about the absence of Phil Mickelson.
It's always disappointing when the defending champion's not here. Phil has said some things that I think a lot of us who are committed to the tour and committed to the legacy of the tour have pushed back against, and he's taken some personal time.
There you go. Some personal time. Yeah. There are some people, some golf writers that that I follow that are suggesting that we may never see Phil Mickelson again on the tour.
Really?
I'd be surprised at that. But he is certainly, you know, he's almost doubled down. At one point when he was going down that rabbit hole with a few of the other players, and then Greg Norman's on a whole other planet of just whatever, the hell he's thinking about saying.
Yeah, for sure.
But Phil is kind of backed off, but not entirely. So I don't know. I still think at the end of the day, I still think we're going to see him back. But he's been basically off the tour now since what, February? Like it's been a long time now that he's been away. And who knows?
47 years old, Jer?
Phil?
Yeah.
50.
Oh, 50.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You know, he looks like he's taking good care of himself, though. I think all time kind of heals. Now, when he comes back, which I think he will, what's it look like? And as far as the tour, you weren't here last week. You know, if you're Greg Norman and if you do have the financial backing and you feel like you've now really made your bed with the Saudis, well, there is no turning back because your only payday is going to come from the Saudis. So you might as well keep going. And as far as Phil Mickelson, Yeah, I guess we'll see. And what I wondered for him, and, you know, the big part is, first of all, he's at an age where how much are you going to actually earn playing? But he certainly hurt himself going forward in that, hey, he was a guy that was probably going to cash a pretty good check on marketing the rest of his life. And I would assume that almost all of that in the United States is drawn would dry up. Now, on a global level, you know, I can't measure that. But, yeah, he has hurt his ability to earn any type of living going forward. Now, he's also a gazillionaire. I guess
he's only made $800 million.
Yeah, I was going to say, I guess it just depends on how much he's, you know, invested and how much he's gambled and whatever. And I'm sure he'll live a fine life.
There is a new book that is out actually this week from golf writer Alan Shipnuck. About
is that who
Phil.
We had on?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, but he's an excellent writer, and he has written basically the story of Phil without Phil being a part of it. So it is, you know, because Phil is one of those black hat, white hat kind of guys, right? There are people that absolutely love Phil, and there are people that absolutely despise Phil.
He's American.
And so this, so this is kind of the ultimate story of Phil not told by Phil, and there's some pretty interesting stuff in there. I think it's actually out today. Because the release of the book was being timed to coincide with the opening of the PGA Championship, in which Phil was supposed to be there as the the oldest ever major champion, and of course Phil is not there. But
do you think that's one of the reasons he didn't show up, Jer?
I don't think so, because enough details of the book have already come out, including the fact that he has, and again these are I guess allegations, but I'm guessing this is sourced pretty well, that he has lost. He lost $40 million over 4 years gambling, sports gambling.
Wow.
You know, and again, Phil's made hundreds of millions of dollars, but he has lost, and that's just kind of the reported $40 million over 4 years. You got a bit of an issue if you're losing that kind of dough.
And the stress that would put on your family, Jr. I don't care how much money you have. Nobody's going to look at that and say, hey, that's rational. And you know, you get into the addiction portion of it. And for Phil Mickelson, it's just a really interesting time. And I think what's happened here is that, you know, based on Trump, I think people, so many things that they'd hold back on saying, and whether they were semi-private conversations, whatever conversations they were in the past, people would just kind of bite their tongue. And I think in this last 8-10 years, there's just been an unloading of where you go to these parties and you're around people and you just start talking. And next thing you know, that ends up in books, and it might be hearsay, might not be firsthand. But I think a lot of people have opened up their mouths and said a lot of controversial things.
Tiger said the big deal, and he is going to play. He says he feels stronger than he did at Augusta, but the biggest challenge for him remains just his ability to walk the course.
Yeah.
Coming off the broken leg in the car accident now, that's, almost 18 months ago?
Yeah.
But Tiger will be teeing it up, and how about that threesome that will be out on the course? Tiger, Jordan Spieth, who's incredibly popular, and Rory McIlroy. There's your threesome that will play in rounds 1 and 2 at the PGA Championship. By the way, 3 Canadians in the field as well, Corey Connors, Mackenzie Hughes, and Adam Hadwin. It all starts tomorrow, and you can watch coverage all week and weekend long on TSN.
I wonder what Tiger's dream threesome would be. Would it be... No, I'm being golf related. Yeah, let's take a break.
Yes, okay. You know what? You should just sort of left it right there. And everybody could go wherever they wanted with that thought. All right, we'll take a break. Top of the hour news. The sports update is on the way. When we come back, we'll take a trip around the rest of the National Hockey League. We'll set up the 2 game ones tonight of the second round, including the Battle of Alberta, and Daryl Sutter's thoughts on talking about injuries in the playoffs. Some very candid thoughts from the Flames coach on that. So we'll get into that, and we'll talk about Garbage Bag Day in Pittsburgh and the futures of Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin, and also, of course, in Toronto, where the Maple Leafs gathered for one final time after their ouster in round 1 by the Tampa Bay Lightning. Who will be back and who might not be? We'll get into all of that when we come back here on this Wednesday morning. You're listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200.